I would like to present the shmooze, but I just want to preface, it's a great topic for a vod. That's not the purpose of the shmooze, but it's, to remind me, it's a great, worthwhile topic. Whether this is a shmooze or not a shmooze, the topic is very worthy. This Midrash Rabbah in Parsha Shmini says, Rav Shimon ben, actually I'm not sure what that stands for, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, I assume, Pesach, Omad vayimodeid aretz, he stood up and he measured the land. Modad HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ha'umos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured all the nations, v'lo motza uma shehoyseru l'kabel satara el ador ha'midbar. The only nation that he found that was fitting to accept the Torah was the door of the Midbar. Madar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol haharim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured all of the mountains. V'lo motza har shetinasim bo satara el Sinai. And the only mountain that he thought was roi to give the Torah on was Har Sinai. Madar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol hayaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured all the cities. V'lo motza ir sheyivne bo beis hamikdash al Yerushalayim. The only city he thought worthy to build the beis hamikdash on was Yerushalayim. Modar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'aratzos. He measured all of the lands. V'lo motza eretz sheruya linos liYisrael eretz Yisrael. And he only land fitting to give to Klal Yisrael was eretz Yisrael. Ha'oduksiv omad vayimodid aretz. That he stood up and he measured the lands. A beautiful medrash. Yerushalayim was an accidental. Eretz Yisrael was mamish. Everything was chosen. It's amazing. Yifei Toar says, Shehoisa, it's cut off. I apologize. I didn't realize until I was reading from the sheet that it was cut off. Shehoisa ruya l'kabel satara. Hine b'masha bochar Hashem be'eretz Yisrael b'Yushalayim u'b'har Sinai v'chein b'am Yisrael. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim, Har Sinai, and the nation of Klal Yisrael, Pirashi L'il, I explained earlier. If anyone can help me find where that is earlier, I'd be so appreciative. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. Samach Aleph, I don't know what that stands for. Sefer Aleph, Parshin and Hay, Simon Ches and Tes. And in Perek Bay, Simon Hay. It could be there are like three more shmuzim here on each one. So I couldn't find it. Umasha Bochar Bedor Midbar. This one, he says here, that which he chose, the Dor Midbar. What did he say? That he was Modad Kol HaUmos, all the nations, lo matza uma shoysa ruila kavos atorah l'dor midbar. That one he's going to discuss here. Umasha bochar b'dor midbar hatam. What's the reason? Bibnei shayu nichnoim meod misivlos mitzrayim, because they were nichna. They were very humble to be mekabel the sivlos mitzrayim. L'chein ge'os lehem, therefore it was proper for them, l'kabel ol malchus shemayim, that they'll be m'kabel ol malchus shemayim, ol Torah mitzvus. Because they were machnia themselves for the Sivlos Mitzrayim, Mela, they were befitting, they were roy to mimakabel ol mitzvahs. They were machnia me'od. It says they were machnia me'od by Sivlos Mitzrayim. So, first that's the whole schmooze. I don't want anyone like, how long is this going to take? This line, it so struck me First of all, just to realize what we're dealing with here. This is the whole purpose of creation, was to give the Torah. The whole purpose of creation. And it was promised Avram, I mean, they had to go through Mitzrayim because Avram Avinu said, "Bama'eda." I mean, Daki Dakis, they had to go through a cleansing. But as we saw, the other nations didn't want the Torah. So Klai Yisrael is not going to be roy for the Torah. Chas v'shalom, there isn't going to be a Torah. It's like just to the hair first, the gravity of the moment over here. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're on the Memtes Shari Tuma, Klai Yisrael. I don't know all the nuances of all them in Russian, but they were like very close to being on the 50th level of Tumah, and then they, you know, then they wouldn't be able to be nigal. They wouldn't be able to be redeemed. I don't know what that means. What about the Haftacha? I don't know. I just know that here they are at Mamish being held by a strand, maybe a strand, trying to find a schus. So whatever this chus is going to be, we definitely should learn from. And what's the chus that they were machnia ma'od from the Sivlos Mitzrayim? That they were machnia, they were humbled. It should be an atonement for our sins. It should be a kapara. We should become better people. Like right off the bat, I'm thinking like if you want to see people who are going to be, you know, roy for the Torah, I would think that we should say about them that even though they were being so harassed and they were being so oppressed, they were still had a Seder, they still had Sedarim, they showed Zrizus, they did whatever mitzvahs they did with Zrizus. They gave a lot of tzedakah. I think of a lot of different attributes, accolades that you would say, wow, even during under such conditions, they still did certain things. Chveis, even under such conditions, they found Chol Yisrael, they had, you know, Kemach Yoshim. They found all these great things that even under such trials they were able to overcome. And yet what the Medrash according to the Yafei Torah is saying is that it's almost like they had no choice. It's not like they had any way to escape. They were just machnia ma'od. They accepted with humility, they accepted the Sivlos Mitzrayim. Like it takes a certain hachna. I mean, they accepted it. I have no choice, you know. They were slaves in Mitzrayim. I mean, do your work, or we're going to kill you. So they had to do it. But you see, from here that, without any time, you know that was one of Paro's whole schemes, did not give them any time to do anything. So they didn't have time for anything. He was working them to the utter exhaustion. And you would think that they accepted it with hachna. I mean, they didn't have a choice to accept it or not accept it. They had to accept it. There was no time to demonstrate. There was no demonstration. Apparently they probably didn't even have a time to have a vad on how to makabel with hachna. But you see that they were able to machnia ma'od. And if they have, and to such an extent, you machnia yourself ma'od when you have a tzara. So it says yeyus lahem. Therefore, it's proper that they should mekabel all malchus shemayim, all Torah mitzvahs. I assume it's like a. I wasn't sure at first. I thought maybe it was some mystical. Maybe it's just like simple. Like you mekabel, so you can be mekabel. You mekabel silver mitzrayim. I'm guessing is the push-up shot. in Mekabel Sivlos Mitzrayim, therefore you could be Mekabel on mitzvahs. Yes, is that what we would think? Someone who's Mekabel Sivlos can Mekabel on Mitzvahs. You come out of your house in the morning and you go to start your car and the car doesn't start. And you, I don't know, you're a coal guy, you want to go learn. How you're mekabel that car starting or not starting is going to have an effect on whether or not we could be mekabel the Torah. You could be mekabel old Torah. You can go learn the rest of the day. How you're mekabel the trials of yeshiva. It's too hot in the dorm. Your chair's broken. Your chavrusa is giving you a hard time. You don't like the menu. How we're machni ourselves, I want to compare it to Sivos Mitzrayim. I don't think it's that bad, but how we're machnia ourselves to the Sivlos Yeshiva will have a direct effect. It's proportionate to how we can mekabel old Torah. I mean, I'm just not assuming it's just like a one-time cheshbon. Oh, they get the schus, so they get the Torah. Now that's not a cheshbon anymore. I'm just assuming that's a working cheshbon. You're mekabel, so now you can be mekabel old Torah mitzvahs. So it's such a great topic because that's how we deal with adversity. That is the whole mensch, is dealing with the nisyonos, hachayim. Who doesn't have a nisayon? The whole life is a nisayon. Every day is a nisayon. Every second is a nisayon. But if a person deals with it and treats it as that, you know, he feels every time something happens, like Nachmal, you know, like always thinking like he's a victim. Every time something happens, he feels victimized by life. So, okay, it's also, you know, the likelihood is you probably need to spend more money on a therapist. You know, you have to, you know, you're bringing much more problems on yourself. If we could somehow deflect all of those challenges and just accept some of them with hachna, so then we have, aside from all the obvious benefits that will be happier people, more functional people, better chavrusas, friends, better husbands and fathers, and mechanchim, rebbeim, and other community members. Aside from that, but we'll be able to mekabel the old Torah better. We'll be able to serve Hashem better if we could learn how to mekabel from the other things. They go hand in hand. So it's powerful. It's powerful. I read this. I forgot who wrote it. One of the refuseniks. I think it was Sharansky. He said he was being imprisoned by the KGB. He was there for like in solitary confinement for, I don't know, crazy amount of, like 20 years. And mama, solitary confinement. And he said, "Listen, my family, they took away. Food they took away. Light they took away." He was in the cell, no window. Total darkness. He was there for 20 years. He wrote a book on it. I was fascinated how such a man survived such a thing. But he said he figured out the only thing that they couldn't control is my mind. It's the only thing they can't control. How does this control what I'm thinking? So he decided right there, so they're not going to control my mind. He figured out what they want him to think, and he's going to think the opposite. This is how he survived. I'm not saying Batura is any I don't know how he turned out in terms of Frumkeit. I'm just in terms of life. He challenged the system. They can't operate my mind. My mind is mine. So whatever he thought they were trying to get him to get depressed or whatever, so he would do the opposite, like be extra happy and cheerful, because that was his way to fight back. He had no weapons, but that's how he fought back. So we see that how we process the challenges that come to us is totally within our power. And also the great schar that we awaits us, because we will then be, that was the schus that we will kabel the Torah. And I presume, I don't think that's a stretch, but I'm sure you'll ask if you think so, after. And I assume that's ongoing. It's a working variable. That the more a person's machnia, the more he's able to makabel all Torah. So, it's gavaldik. We have that. So this guy, I can't wait for supper. I hope it's the worst meal possible. And everything's cold and it's leftovers. Awesome. And if we could machni ourselves to that kind of tzar, night seder is going to be gavaldik. It's going to be a much better learning. Wow, what a great opportunity. I was going to stop over there. So I just there, Chagav, I don't know if it has anything to do with the shmooze, but I thought of it and I was preparing the shmooze, so I guess I'll say the story. At the very least, it's entertainment. But I remember when I was in Beis Medrash, Rabbi Sharfman was there. I believe Rabbi Sharfman was in the Beis Medrash at the time when this happened. There's a lot of, the first year Rabbi Grumblatt was here, I think it was the second year of the yeshiva. So there was some politics going on in the yeshiva's faculty. There's a change. Evidently, somebody wasn't happy. And the relative of the person who wasn't happy came into the yeshiva. We were learning, six of us learning in Beis Medrash. And a relative came in to the yeshiva and walked into Rabbi Grumblatt's classroom. He was teaching, I think, 8th and 9th graders that year. And started yelling at Rabbi Grumblatt on top of his lungs. You remember this story? He started yelling at Rabbi Grumblatt. He must have been yelling for like, I don't know, 3 to 5 minutes. Just yelling. And we were in the basement and we were so curious to know what was going on, but we didn't want to appear like yentas, so we had to be very calm with our ears to the wall, but we would just stay there calm. So afterwards, we went over to all the high school kids and said, like, what happened? So, oh my gosh. In the middle of Shia, he just walked in, he started yelling at Rabbi Grumblatt for like 5 minutes. He called him crazy names and went through the whole story. So what did Rabbi Grumblatt do? Says he stood there like this. He didn't say a word. After like 5 minutes, the person walked out and slammed the door and left. Rabbi Grumblatt stood there for another minute. Then he looked at us and he said, I think that guy was pretty upset. That was the whole, and he smiled. That was the whole thing. Just like I was trying to think of, that was my, in my mind, the personification, like of being to be available to him, machnia ma'od, sivlos mitzrayim. That was the end of the whole story. But I just brought down this last sforno, because I think that just to show this is I couldn't find this in the Chiddushi Aleiv or in any of the other notebooks, writings from the Reshiva, just from memory. I found it. Maybe someone knows if it's written somewhere. And maybe one of the, it's not in Bishalach, but on the bottom, on the pasuk Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. So the Sforno says on bottom. I should have marked it off. I didn't need to have to go through the whole of the Sfornos. On the bottom, Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu Es Yisrael, and the Sforno writes B'misas Hamistolim. Hashem provided salvation for Klal Yisrael with the death of the oppressors, Hamistolim Bum. The oppressors who oppressed them, the Shabdom who caused them to serve them, Nishruhem B'nei Chorin. B'misam stolen b'am l'shabdam nisharu heim b'nei churin ki ad eis mosam ha Yisrael kavodim baruchim. Until the time of their death, Klal Yisrael would have been like avodim baruchim, like runaway slaves. This is the great Yeshua. I'm not sure how you read those words. Nisharu heim b'nei churin. Oh, because of their death, that's how they became b'nei churin. They became b'nei churin after the Mitzrim died. So what was the great Yeshua? If the Mitzrim died, they escaped. They fell into out and they're gone. So now we're not avodim them anymore. What's the great Yeshua? Says the Sephardim, because kol zman that they are... they in their minds that your oppressors are still alive, so you feel like an eved boreach, like a runaway slave. Couldn't shake that. I was just the hearing that here Klal Yisrael was able to overcome a tremendous civilist Mitzrayim, the torture that the Mitzrim did, the shechted babies and put them in walls, and all the midrashim from the Haggadah, this is terrible tsaros and death and torture, and they were able to be machnia ma'od, but they were able to overcome it and be zolcha to the old Torah mitzvahs, but they escape. Hashem would take them out of Mitzrayim and pluck them down in Beit Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, and Egypt's there and Israel's there, and there's Sinai in the middle, whatever, and they're not going to bother money to set up your own country and Melech. No, that they couldn't do. Now you see that this needed the Ribbono Shalom's intervention. This they couldn't push themselves out of their habitat of how they viewed themselves. So I guess there are certain things that we need help in, but I just wanted to just bring out that, and without this, it would have held them back from feeling like Bnei Chorin. This is like one of the problems, a child grows up and, to his parents and his rebbeim, they try and get the child to view themselves differently. In other words, you're not a, preschool kid, you're not a kindergarten kid anymore, you're in second grade already. Or you're now, you're in middle school, you're bar mitzvah, you're in high school. Now you're in Beis Medrash, and we have a lot of problems. Sometimes people can't break themselves away from the prior mold. That's a particular, very difficult task. Okay, maybe it's not a tushtel, because that's maybe avodim. Maybe avodim is hard to do. Maybe. But still, maybe it's a tushtel. So just to deher that, certain things we can do, certain things we need assistance to try every possible motive, every possible methodology to help ourselves break out, even though we can control the minds, we can overcome the greatest imprisonments even, to be able to machnia ma'od, all the sivlos, and certain things that are documented to be more difficult, we have to be aware that to overcome the struggles and the nisyonos of our mind, the lone thing that we can control, will make the difference whether we can be mekabel the old Torah and mitzvahs.